From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Public media stations across the country are entering a new landscape without a critical lifeline. A Republican-backed Congress has made good on years of threats from President Trump, pulling federal funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB, which is the largest single source of funding for public media. Although this will impact NPR and PBS nationally, the biggest hit will be to small local stations, especially in rural areas, where federal funding can make up a large share of their operating budgets. There are roughly 35 stations across California now figuring out how to work without CPB funding. In our area, KVIE, the Sacramento PBS station, stands to lose $2.5 million that it was expecting this fall. As far as Cap Radio is concerned, it is buffered from this blow. Because of prior financial mismanagement at the public media station, which also operates North State Public Radio in Chico and KHSU up in Humboldt, Cap Radio has not been eligible to receive federal funding for the past 2 years, something that we have reported on independently as a newsroom since the beginning. Station executives addressed the recent cuts for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting on our website, saying nearly all funding at Cap Radio now comes from individual donations and local businesses. So today, we're going to get a better sense of the difficult decisions taking shape. Maya Miller is a politics reporter, and Kayla Mihalovich is a justice reporter for Cal Matters. That's a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. And they spoke with public media from Southern California through the Central Valley to the North Coast and join us with those conversations. Welcome.
Good morning and good afternoon.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah, you get a pass. We're like 8 minutes into noon. So yeah, good afternoon. Well, Maya, I want to start with you. I think it's good to have a 101, a little bit of a refresher. How long has CPB funding been around, and remind us why it exists in the first place?
Sure. So President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, where he created the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. It's a publicly funded nonprofit corporation, meaning that it receives government dollars or taxpayer dollars, but it runs its own operations. So they have a board of nine or so political appointees who hire a CEO, a president, and other senior level leaders. And their mission is to promote and help support public broadcasting to ensure universal access, quote, to non-commercial, high-quality content.
So there's going to be a lot of numbers thrown around, a lot of millions of dollars. How was federal funding broken down and determined? What did you learn about that from one public media station to the next? Because it can vary.
Definitely. So certain stations have some, I'd say most of the stations that we talked to had maybe about 8 to 10% of their budget come from federal funds, come from the CPB. There were some who were lower than that, and there were some who were much higher, up to about 50% or half their budget or so. So it can really vary depending on the outlet.
Yeah. For those who haven't been following this closely, what was the main argument being made for pulling funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting?
So Republicans have long disagreed with the idea of using American taxpayer dollars to fund public media. They've said that these types of services should be provided by private donors. And then there have been some hardline conservatives in the last couple of years who have accused NPR and PBS, especially, of liberal bias and taken aim at some of the gender inclusive programming that these networks have promoted. So one of the most vocal critics especially has been Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, who leads the Oversight Committee's DOGE subpanel and grilled the leaders of NPR and PBS earlier this year in a televised hearing.
And DOGE for the Department of Government Efficiency.
Yes, or some variation, delivering on government efficiency,
yes,
or something
right.
like that.
So given that the use of this federal funding has been criticized for a while, largely by Republicans, these actual cuts that took place, that Congress approved, Trump signed into law, has something of this scale happened before?
No, never. There have been plenty of threats, and President Nixon was a prominent adversary of NPR and PBS and called numerous times for them to be defunded. But there has never been such a large scale clawback of funding for public media as there was this year.
Kayla, I want to turn to you. How is this impact shaking out across California?
Yeah, so roughly 35 stations from San Diego to Hoopa and Humboldt County have lost this critical funding. And every station receives a different amount of funding, you know, ranging from thousands to millions of dollars. Federal dollars, you know, comprise anywhere from 6% of a station's budget to 50% and higher. And so there's two ways to track that, you know, there's percentage wise and dollar wise. And so based on our reporting, KQED in San Francisco stands to face some of the biggest cuts dollar wise at around $8 million. But that is a much smaller fraction of their overall budget than the losses that many other, you know, especially smaller stations stand to lose. So the impact will vary. Leaders, you know, we spoke with said that they'll likely be forced to lay off staff and cut programming unless they can, you know, make up for the losses through fundraising.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of questions, and sometimes it's focused on national NPR and PBS. And it's important to mention that member stations like Cap Radio or KVIE were locally owned and operated. So we do play NPR and PBS programming like Morning Edition and All Things Considered or Nova or PBS NewsHour, but we pay for that programming. And Maya, can you break down like why local stations are at greater risk to these federal cuts compared to like national NPR and PBS?
Definitely. So as Kayla mentioned, these local affiliates, you know, can receive a certain percentage of their budget, not their whole budget, from federal dollars. But notably, the local affiliates receive a far greater percentage of their funding from the federal government than the parent organizations do. So for example, NPR receives about 2% or so of its budget, and PBS receives about 15% of its budget from federal funding. So by cutting this funding, the critics of NPR and PBS are really hamstringing their local stations more so than the federal parent organizations that they've criticized as being liberally biased or as promoting content that they disagree with. The local stations really are the ones bearing the brunt of this.
Well, let's get to some of the conversations that you had with public media stations across California. Maya, you spoke with a station up in Eureka. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so KEET TV, or K-E-E-T, they're one of the few public television stations in California, actually, that's owned completely by community members, rather than having an institutional backer like Sacramento State or like a local college or a school board. Their station received about almost half of its budget from the federal government, and the other half was from donors in the community. I talked to their station manager, his name is David Gordon, and he was saying that now, you know, they'll have to cover their entire budget through local support, which is a really big ask, especially that far north in our state.
Let's take a listen to part of what he told you.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm willing to say is that I think KEET may be able to survive in some form. The only thing I can say with certainty is that it's going to be very, very different from what came before in the past 55 years. This is my point of view. This is me talking right now. I'm not speaking for the organization at this point. I'm speaking for myself. I can't guarantee that KEET will be here.
Given that this is a station that's entirely community funded, can you speak to the service that KEET plays for the community, which is a pretty remote area?
Absolutely. A lot of stations, not just KEET, but a lot of public local affiliates are providing more than just local programming to their audiences. They're providing such emergency notifications during bad weather events. These stations were providing information, sometimes in multiple languages, about the COVID-19 pandemic, for example, and where people could get tested or vaccinated, how people could sign up for social services. So these stations are really a lifeline for people living out in rural, not as connected areas. And it also helps people feel connected to their community in a way. When you live miles away from your nearest neighbor, and you know, but you can tune your radio to your local station, that's powerful.
Yeah, and cell service sometimes can be hard to come by, broadband, internet, things like that. Kayla, a little further south, you actually spoke with a public radio station in Mendocino County. How are they navigating this time?
Yeah, that's right. I spoke with KZYX. They are an NPR member station that serves roughly 130,000 listeners throughout Mendocino County and part of Lake County. And they told me that they lost roughly 25% of their operating budget. That's around, you know, $174,000 from the CPB. And they had to lay off its news director as a result of those cuts. And when I spoke with their general manager and director of operations, Andre Dishon, he said that, you know, that really means the news will include fewer in-depth stories, such as interviews with city council members, and it'll become a bit more topical and headline news. And similarly, you know, he said he immediately worried about fire safety, since listeners who live in off-the-grid rural areas without internet or cell service really do rely on the station for emergency information.
Let's take a listen to what he told you.
The listeners definitely noticed that there isn't a dedicated news person, so our news gets a little more topical. And the in-depth stories that we had before, you know, perhaps interviews with city council members or county supervisors, there isn't the time to source out those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So the news gets more like a headline news.
So this is really getting to the heart of how listeners or viewers can potentially experiencing the cuts that are upcoming and that are going to be taking place. Down in Southern California, this was also an interesting example, Maya, in the Inland Empire. Talk to us about KVCR in San Bernardino and how they're navigating this time.
Yeah, so I spoke with their president, CEO, general manager, Connie Leva, former Democratic state senator here in California. And she was really emphasizing to me that the local programs, the things that are produced in-house, not necessarily programs that you get from PBS or NPR, but very local community-focused shows, are the ones that are going to be the most at risk, since the stations have to invest time, resources, money, in addition to the dues that they pay to the parent organization to be able to produce those shows. So, for example, they have an Emmy-winning program, public affairs show, I believe it's called Inland Edition, that is produced once a week. It's a weekly show, and they received, you know, money from a special congressional grant to be able to produce that show, something like $1 million to be able to produce that show. There's another local program for kids that's bilingual in English and Spanish called Learn With Me. And those are both award-winning shows that this station produces locally and in-house and could be at risk of going away.
Let's listen to Connie Leva.
I feel like I can be a glass half full person in this situation, because finding $550,000, while hard for us, isn't insurmountable. When I'm hearing stations saying that they're losing $8 million a year, wow, that's, I don't know how you fill that hole. So I do feel that we're very lucky. And part of it is because we're kind of lean and mean. We don't have as many people on staff as we could use. Everybody does a little bit of everything. So we don't have to worry quite as much. I mean, $8 million, holy cow, that's a big hole to fill.
Maya, are any of the stations that you spoke to at risk of shutting down?
I think the common refrain that I heard from most of the stations that I talked to was, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here. We might look different. You might hear or see our programming in different ways, but we're not going away. The one exception to that was David Gordon up at Keat. He noticed in his remarks he was more reserved. He said, I don't know if I can promise that we'll be here, although I really hope that we can. There weren't necessarily people saying that we're imminently in danger of going off the air, but they said that the changes definitely will need to be made.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporters Maya Miller and Kayla Mihalovich about the impact federal funding cuts are having on public media stations across the state. It's not just NPR and PBS member stations that are being impacted by this. There are other stations impacted as well. Tell us about Radio Bilingue.
Yes. So Radio Bilingue is one of the largest Spanish-speaking outlets. They broadcast throughout the southwestern U.S., northern Mexico, over 100 stations, 26 of them of which the Central Valley Organization owns and operates themselves. Their leader, Hugo Morales, told me that they stand to lose about $300,000 in their annual CPB grants, which is roughly 7.5% of their budget. During the pandemic, especially, the group shared vital information about testing centers, vaccine availability in Spanish and also indigenous languages, which is a service that is not provided by a lot of broadcasters. And they were also in the final stages of negotiations for a almost, you know, $1.1 million grant from CPB to be able to improve their transmission infrastructure, their equipment, you know, which hasn't been updated since the 80s. And when we think of costs to public media, we're often thinking about newsroom, reporters, rights to music, but you also have all of this really expensive equipment that's required to be able to transmit your signal, to be able to get those programs from NPR and PBS nationally. And those things wear out at some point.
Yeah. Kayla, I was also surprised to learn that the largest recipient of CPB funding in California actually isn't an NPR PBS member station. It's ITVS, located in San Francisco. Tell us about this company.
Yeah, ITVS is a San Francisco-based organization. It was formally created in 1990 as a result of federal legislation. In 1988, Congress mandated that the CPB fund programming by independent producers to ensure more diverse and underrepresented voices were included in public media. So ITVS receives roughly 86% of its budget, or $19 million, from the CPB. And as you mentioned, that is the largest amount of funding that we've seen. Leaders say that the group has partnered with hundreds of independent filmmakers to co-produce more than 900 feature documentaries. These are films that are distributed to PBS stations nationwide. And as a result of the CPB cuts, they have already had to lay off 13 employees. That's roughly 20% of its staff. And they expect roughly 10 films to lose out on funding this year, which is a pretty dramatic reduction compared to the roughly, 20 to 40 films they would typically fund every year.
As we wind down this conversation, I want to get to that reality that living in a more remote area, a more rural area, I mean, radio stations are crucial. They're critical during emergencies. You mentioned bad weather. How did lawmakers in rural areas vote? Where did the votes land when it came to Congress's decision to pull this funding?
Yeah, despite the lopsided consequences for remote and rural districts who, as you said, stand to lose the most in terms of access to information if these public stations have to cut back, the vote in Congress fell largely along party lines. You know, all but two House Republicans lined up to support President Trump's request to claw back these funds, which included the bulk of which was for foreign aid as well as for the public broadcasters. And all nine of California's Republican members of Congress voted to cut this funding, and whereas all Democrats in the House voted against this bill. So it really was a let's line up and support the president's agenda.
Finally, Kayla, is the writing on the wall? What can be done to soften this funding blow?
Not necessarily. Many of the leaders we interviewed do remain optimistic that they can make up for these losses if their listeners are able to step up and show support for their stations in the months ahead. You know, I think what we heard is that the impact will really vary depending upon, how much these stations can close the gap. But all of the leaders across the board, said that they will have to face really tough decisions in the months ahead if they're not able to recoup these losses.
Maya and Kayla, thank you so much for sharing your reporting.
Thank you. Thanks for having
Thanks for having us.
Maya Miller and Kayla Mihalovich are reporters at CalMatters discussing the impact federal funding cuts are having on public media stations across the state. And as I mentioned off the top, as far as Cap Radio is concerned, it currently doesn't receive any CPB funding. Up next, the Central Valley is one of California's fastest growing regions. And with that growth comes the weight to shape elections. We'll explore the political landscape of the region. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.